relative I learned from my last class, I asked some of those kids if they were rich, and one of them said he had $300 in the bank account, so he was rich, and another one had $150 in his pocket and said he just sold his pigs in 4-H, so he was rich. So, now that's pretty good when you're that age, but for us, if we have $300, in the, at least for me, I'd be pretty nervous if that's all I had in the bank. So, as we know how fast money can go, and Solomon has a lot to say about riches. Thomas Tusser said, "A fool and his money are soon parted." That's not a proverb from Solomon, but it's usually true that a fool, he usually parts his money pretty fast. But Solomon, he was a very wise man. He had more money than probably any other man has ever had. So he had a lot to say about wealth. There wasn't anything Solomon couldn't buy. He didn't. If you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you see all that he had and all that he did. He made silver like stones. Silver's pretty valuable. Our money now has no silver in it at all because it costs too much to make money out of silver. But in Solomon's day, it was like seeing a penny on the ground. I pick up a penny if I see it, but some people, they don't. But if I, a while ago, I could see in the cashier's thing at the bank, he had a silver quarter in there. I said, "Can I trade you for that quarter?" I said, "Silver, you can have it if you want." He said, "Oh, I don't want it." So I traded him. I was pretty happy. But silver, Solomon, it really wasn't worth much in his day. He was a wealthy man. He made the people wealthy. So he knew what he was doing. And he's inspired by God in the book that he's given us. So we need to learn from him. And he said, "Honor the Lord with your wealth." That's my first point. And Solomon said, "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." That's Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. And would anybody give me a dime? Somebody got a dime they'd give me? Where'd it go? I had one. You got one? Here. I had a dollar and I'll trade you for your dime. I'll give you a dollar for your dime. You got one up there already. Oh, that's not yours? I thought it was yours. Whose is it? Who threw that one? That was Terry's? That's your sister's dollar. Sorry, I thought you were the one that threw it and you're giving me another one. So, how many of you would do that all day long? Sure. You would. Anybody give me $10? We're not going to do that. But how much of your money does God own? All of it, right? And he says, "You give me 10% of what I've given you." Anybody that can get a 90% return on their investment would do that, right? And Solomon, he knew that's how to keep your wealth, or one way, is you honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce. And many people are in financial trouble for one reason. Well, maybe more than one reason, but it's the beginning of the reason. They don't tithe. They won't give God what belongs to Him. And then that leads to other troubles in their financial situation. And tithing makes you get your priorities in order, right? That what's important is paid for first, and the other stuff can wait. And if I get my priorities in order by tithing, that'll set the rest of my finances in order also. God will repay us if we use our money rightly. We're to help others with our money. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He is gracious to the poor man, lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed." So we're to be generous with our money. If our neighbor's in need, help him. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. That's another good one. He says, there is one who scatters, yet increases all the more, and there is one who holds what is justly due, but it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. So if I am generous, people are going to be generous with me. But if I am always trying to be tight-fisted and trying to get every dime out of everybody I can, they're probably going to do the same with me. So be generous and don't forget about the poor man. God will repay you. And I see, I think it's Dawn has a sermon on that. So we'll be hearing more about that later this week. Number two, don't trust in your wealth. We can be rich today and poor tomorrow. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. He says, do not be weary to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. For when you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings, like eagles, like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. So we can be rich today and poor tomorrow. Job, he was one of the richest men. Well, he was the greatest man in the East. He had lots and lots of stuff. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys. And he had all the servants to take care of those. And he had seven sons and three daughters, if I remember right. I don't think I turned that around. But so how long did it take him to lose all that? One day. And that was gone. It was of Satan. And God allowed Satan to do it. But that's one day, and that's a lot to lose. None of us are that wealthy. And we could lose it in one day. But Job's trust wasn't in his wealth. Many men, when something like that happens, what do? Commit suicide. Commit suicide. Mm-hmm. They're done. They don't want to live anymore. They think their life is over. But Job didn't give up. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't sin against the Lord. In Job 13:15, he says, though he slay me, I'll put my hope in him. But I'll continue to argue my ways. I think that's how he said it. I might be changed a word or two there. But he was concerned about his situation. He was going to continue to argue with God. And later he decided that wasn't such a good idea either. But he had his hope in God. He didn't have his hope in his wealth and riches. And later, God gave it all back to him and more. Another way people lose their wealth, they think they have enough, is they co-sign for someone. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, and Solomon talks about this more than just here, but Solomon says, don't co-sign for anyone. He says, my son, if you become surety for your neighbor and have given a pledge for a stranger, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth and have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, deliver yourself, since you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go humble yourself. Importune your neighbor. Do not give sleep to your eyes nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Solomon says, don't co-sign for anybody. I think most of you know what that is. You sign a contract that if the person that is buying the house or the car or whatever doesn't pay, that you will. And some people go bankrupt because they co-sign for someone else. And I'm glad those verses are there, and I'm glad I had a dad that told me, don't ever co-sign for anybody. Because people have asked me to co-sign, and I had a fast answer, no. And that was, I didn't have to think about it. I already knew what Solomon said. I knew what my dad said, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And that was it. So our wealth can be taken from us. We do all kinds of things to try to keep our money safe, and that's a good idea. We have savings account and checking account, so we don't keep a lot of cash in our houses, probably. We have safety deposit boxes. Sometimes people buy CDs because they don't trust the stock market, which sometimes it's not too secure there either. But we want to make sure our money is safe and secure, but we can lose it. Proverbs chapter 18, 10 and 11. The rich man, he trusts in his wealth. Verse 10, he says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe." The rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his own imagination. So it is security, but it can be lost. And if you're a fool, you can lose it quickly. But wisdom, it can't be taken away from you. You can lose it if you choose to, but nobody can force wisdom from you. But they can force your wealth from you. Proverbs 8, 10 and 11. He says, "Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her." And you go through the Proverbs, and Solomon tells his son over and over again, get wisdom, get understanding, get knowledge, way above gold and silver. And Solomon, he had a choice when he prayed to the Lord. He asked for a wise and understanding heart that he'd be able to rule over his people. God gave him that, but he also gave him wealth and riches and honor. A wise man can gain his wealth back if he loses it with God's blessing. But a fool, if he loses his wealth, it's over. And so, and I've known a few fools that had money and they lost it. One man, he was a trust fund kid. I don't know how much he got. He was from the Chef Boyardee family. But he had a house. He had a nice-looking wife. He owned a bar. And then his water well pump went out, and that's when I lived up in this area and did water well pumps. But he didn't even have enough money to pay for a new water well pump. And I'd have to go get $100 from him every once in a while. And one day he borrowed $100 from the beer salesman so he could finish paying for his water well pump. Finally, he lost everything he had. As far as I know, he still had his trust fund. But he was just a fool. You go into his house and he had big pipes for smoking dope, fancy ones, all over his house. Just a fool with the money he had. Lots of them are out there. I've known a few others. One lady, she lived on $11,000 a month. She had trouble making ends meet. I'm serious. She did. She couldn't pay all her bills. She had a huge horse barn. She had full-size Olympic pool. She had all kinds of things, but she couldn't pay all her bills. She lived foolishly. So, a fool and his money don't last too long together. And it's the only thing certain about wealth is that it is uncertain. So, prepare for the future. With our wealth also is one thing we can do. Proverbs 6 through 8. It says, "Go to the end, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest." The ant works hard so that when winter comes, when there's no way the ant can work, that she has enough to live on through the winter. And we need to learn from that. Prepare for hard times. Hard times come to everybody, right? Some people are prepared, some people aren't. And if I'm not prepared, then I'll be like the grasshopper. And the grasshopper, he just eats and eats and eats and eats all summer long, and he doesn't prepare for winter. Winter comes, and what happens to the grasshopper? He dies, right? So, and a lot of our trouble in our economy It's because we didn't learn any lesson from the little ant that we just thought the boom was going to continue and continue and continue, and people spent more money than they had, and they thought they were going to keep having an income like they had, and it didn't happen. And now some people are homeless because they didn't save. One, my neighbor down the street, his name was Seymour, but he grew up during the Depression, and his father died when he was 7. He had 5 brothers, so he knew what hard times were. And he ended up a very wealthy man when he died, but he told me one day, he said, "A lot of people get a kick out of spending money." He said, "I get a kick out of saving money." So he saved, he saved a lot of money. But be content with what we have. So that's another way not to trust in our wealth. Be content. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. He says, "Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of my God." So that's the way we want to be. Right in the middle. Not too rich that I forget God. Not too poor that I'm in want. It's not any fun being poor. And if we're diligent with what we have, we can normally get out of the situation of being poor. But be right in the middle. Don't try to get rich quick. Proverbs chapter 28, 20 and 22, he said, "A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished." And then verse 22, it says, "A man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that want will come upon him." So if it sounds too good to be true, what do we usually, we know it is. And a lot of times we fall into that trap. But Solomon said, just be patient. And my dad and I know a few other old guys, they just say accumulation. Right? Just keep putting some back. And after a while, you have quite a bit. And that's the way we want to do it. Accumulation over years. That's the best way. Don't love pleasure. Proverbs 21 and verse 17. It says, "He who loves pleasure will become a poor man, and he who loves wine and oil will not become rich." The man that loves pleasure, he's always spending his money on some new thrill or some new gadget or something that he just thinks he has to have. And then he can't pay his bills that he really needs to. On Proverbs 23, 20 and 21, the drunkard and the glutton, they don't have enough money either. "Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags." The heavy drinker, he's going to end up a poor man, generally. The glutton, same category. He eats too much, and he doesn't think about where he's putting his money. And if I go into the convenience store and buy a pop every time I get gas, that costs a lot of money. If I add a candy bar to it, that costs even more money. On our way here, the kids, they want to, with my dad, he'd give him $1. I don't know why he does it at that store, but he does. We walk in there, and so Seth's running around the store trying to find something he can burn his dollar on as fast as possible. And I said, "Seth, you're just going to have to put that dollar away. There's nothing in here you can buy for $1. So, it was $1, I think it was $1.09 or $1.20 for a candy bar. So if you go in there and buy yourself a pop and a candy bar, you're not going to have a lot of money after a while. Take something else. If you eat it, bring something along. The glutton, also his health is destroyed from eating too much. And that costs a lot of money when your health is destroyed. And our nation has a big problem with eating too much. We have a lot of food, good food, and it's cheap. But you can become a poor man. And we need to have self-control. Teach our children self-control. When I was a little boy, my mother saw I was getting fat, and she put me on a diet. And that was a good thing to do. We need to do the same for our children. That make sure they learn self-control with their eating. And that will save them money in the future and crosses over into other things too. First temptation, what was that with? Food. What did the devil tempt Jesus with the first time? Food. So it's a temptation. If I learn to control it there, it'll cross over into drugs, alcohol, sex, all those things. So learn it there. And the drunkard and the glutton, they're going to be poor men. Come to poverty. Number three, righteousness is better than wealth. I'm supposed to be done at 12:15, right? Is that right? Okay. All right. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4, he says, riches do not deliver or do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. So righteousness is going to deliver from death. My riches can't get me out of every kind of trouble I'm in. It might get us out of some trouble. But in the day of wrath, when God says enough is enough, you're done. And that's it. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, they were taken captives into Babylon. I don't imagine that the Babylonians let them take their safety deposit box and their savings account and all their clothes with them. I bet they had the clothes on their back and that's it. And they went to Babylon. But they had wisdom that their parents had taught them. They had the knowledge of God. And that got them a long ways in that kingdom. They ended up being powerful men, wealthy men. So righteousness is better than riches. Someday I'm going to stand before God. My riches won't do me any good. Even if I'm Bill Gates, I don't have enough money to buy my soul out of hell. I will have to account for what I've done. And if I'm clothed in the blood of Christ, cleansed by His blood and clothed with Him, then I'm okay. But my riches won't profit me anything. Proverbs 19 and verse 22. He says, what is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. In verse 1 it says, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. So if I have to be poor, if there's no way out of my poverty, but I see a way I can get out of it dishonestly, I'm better off being poor. Sometimes that's the excuse that people give for what they do. Maybe they're born in a place where there's not much opportunity. And so they see that they can get ahead by selling drugs or prostitution or whatever. But even in our society where we have a lot of opportunities, people will resort to dishonesty to gain money. Sometimes truck drivers, they have two logs, two log books. One to show the inspector, one that's the right one, where they keep track of their hours. They want to make more money. So, and I think they're supposed to quit after 10 hours. I can't remember what it is, but I know a lot of them do that. But Solomon says, better be a poor man than a liar. If I have to lie and cheat to get something, then it's better to be poor. Go without it. Don't try to excuse ourselves that, oh, well, that's the way it's done. And that's a lot of times that's what people say. That's the way it is, so that's what they do. If your employer wants you to lie, just tell him it's too bad. I'm not going to do that. So better to be a poor man than a liar. Someday we'll all stand before God. Revelation 21:8 tells us all liars will be in the lake of fire. So be honest. And God, I believe God will bless our honesty. Nobody wants to deal with a liar. And nobody wants to deal with a cheat. And when it becomes known that's what you are, your business is not going to do too well. Be diligent. That's the last thing I want to talk about. That's a good way to use riches wisely. Be diligent. We're steady in our application of business. Constant effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken. We're industrious. We're not idle. Jacob, he's a good example of somebody who was diligent and industrious. God blessed him. Laban, he was dishonest, changing Jacob's wages 10 times. But God saw what was going on. And Jacob worked hard for Laban. And he did what he was supposed to, even though Laban was trying to cheat him. But he was diligent. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. It says, poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So be diligent in what I do. Whatever my job is, do it well. Exert myself. If I don't have anything to do at work, find something. Some places that's the way it is. And you have a little bit to do and then you don't have anything to do. But maybe find something. Be diligent. God will bless us. Riches aren't forever. Proverbs 23 or 27, verse 23 through 27, Solomon told his son to pay attention to his flocks. Proverbs chapter 27, 23 through 27, he says, know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in. The lambs will be for your clothing, and the goats will bring the price of a field. And there will be goat's milk enough for your food, for the food of your household and the sustenance of your maidens. So be diligent. Pay attention to what you already have so that you don't lose it or don't take care of it. Maintain your house. Maintain your vehicle. Maintain your children. Children can be pretty costly if they aren't disciplined while they're young, and somebody has children, so don't worry about this. But I just thought of this verse. Proverbs 19. This goes along with it. Let's see, what verse is that one? 19:13. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. So a foolish son, if I raise a foolish son, he can be very costly when he gets older and ruin what I've tried to build up. Sometimes children get in trouble and then their father tries to get them out, and it costs him a lot of money for lawyers and all those kinds of things. So maintain our children. Pay attention to what's going on with them. That'll also help us with our riches. Maintain our spiritual life, and that will spill over into this also. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 15. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and thus they upset the faith of some. So Paul wanted Timothy to be diligent, to present himself as a workman. And if we're a preacher or somebody in the church that has some authority, or even just everybody there, we need to be diligent in what's going on and be diligent in our own life with our Bible study and our prayer. And if I'm diligent in those areas, that'll help me be diligent in others also. So those are the things that I had there. Honor the Lord from our wealth. Don't trust my wealth. Righteousness is better than wealth, and be diligent with what I have, what I already have, so that I can keep that and hang on to it and not lose it. So Proverbs is a good practical book for everyday life, and I hope you guys read it quite often. Sometimes some people, they memorize the book. Sometimes, or one thing you can do is memorize a chapter at a time, and that helps you in everyday life to make decisions quickly. And sometimes we don't have a lot of time to make a decision. In the last week, one of my boys, he has a little trouble with the temper, and he got mad at his brother, and I was trying to think of what I should do, because it wasn't real bad, but it was. So I thought about it for a minute, and then I thought of Proverbs chapter 19, and I can't remember what verse it is, but it says, I forgot how it says it. I have to look here. That is, a man of great anger shall bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you only have to do it again. And so I decided, well, I guess he's going to have to bear the penalty. And so he did, and that's what helped me decide what to do in that situation. And Proverbs help you decide to do what to do in all kinds of situations. And I'm glad Don chose this book for this year. It's good, practical, everyday stuff. And I have 5 minutes left. I thought I wasn't going to have enough time. I had a few more scriptures, but I skipped them. So, but Don gave me extra 5 minutes. That's where it went. So he quit 5 minutes early.